This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As Jesus walked this earth, he proclaimed himself a king. This was a radical statement, and it upset a lot of people. His words may have a similar effect on our society, and so the tendency can be to misinterpret his message, making it sound more palatable. Stay with us today as we talk about what it means for Jesus to be our King.
We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that as your word is being proclaimed around the world today, it may bear fruit in the hearts of men and women, some who are unbelievers, some who are believers. Strengthen those who have faith, bring to faith those who do not live in a relationship with you. God, we pray for your merciful hand to come upon us, to grant us, O God, that assurance, that knowledge, that security, that you are the Savior of all those who will trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
True.
Friends in Christ. A title that a person has been given gives him power. This can be seen very well in the inauguration of a man or a woman to become the President of the United States. Let's say it is Inauguration Day, and this man descends to the podium where a person inaugurates him. He came down as another citizen of the United States, but he departs as the most powerful person in the world, none other than the President of the United States. Something happened to him. He was given a title. He is now to be addressed as Mr. President. He is to be respected. You do not have to hold his ideas, but you have to respect him as the President. That's where a title gives power. Now let's turn to something a little less formal. Here are a couple of men who want to play a game of golf. So they go out and have a good afternoon together. But the next morning they meet again. This time there's a difference. One of the two is a professor of this particular course. The other one is a student in his class. Now the student has to accept him as his superior. He is the professor. He is the one who is going to pass judgment on whether or not the student has mastered the material. Let's go a little bit further down than that. Let's say that you're in the seventh grade, as I was. And a boy who I thought the world of took a rubber band and shot some lead at me right in the class when everything was supposed to be going on and we were supposed to be learning. When that lead hit my forehead, I got angry, lost my temper, and went back and threw him to the floor. The teacher, a lady of 55 or 60 years of age, light lady, didn't weigh much, had little strength, came and tried to separate us. But she couldn't get it done. And in the meantime, my elbow hit her body, and she went on the floor. Finally, they got to the place where they had some sense of order, and they got us all up, and she looked at me and she says, "Get out of this room and don't come back again." She was a teacher. She had power to do that. She could throw me out of school. As I was leaving the school building, I ran into the principal. And by this time, this eye was all swollen. The principal said to me, "Where are you going?" "I'm going home," I said. "Miss Callahan threw me out of her class." She said, "You better come back and sit in my room." There were only 2 days left in the school year. So I spent the last 2 days with Miss Cragen. She had the power as a principal over the teacher who was in the classroom. You see, titles give you power. You can make the decisions. Well, it's along this line that we are thinking today. For Jesus was called a king. He called himself a king, and that meant that he was going around telling people that he one day would be the Lord of heaven and earth. Anything like this bothered the people in political power. So they finally decided that they better take him into the high priest's court and see what to do with him. When they got him to the high priest's court, the high priest said, there's nothing we can do because this man needs to be killed, and we do not have the power to kill. So they said, we must finally get him to Pontius Pilate. When Jesus got to Pontius Pilate, he didn't want to do anything with the case. He said, this is purely religious. You handle it yourself. But that was not to be the case. For they said, we want this man dead. And our court cannot sentence him to die. So Pilate was then brought upon to be the one who was going to pass sentence on Jesus. When he had Jesus before him, Jesus said that he was the king of the Jews. Well, Pilate did not like that too well because it could affect his whole lifestyle. He was thinking that he was a political king, and where would Pilate then go? Finally, Pilate took him into a room in the palace. And looking at him, he said, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus replied, is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me? And Pilate replied, am I a Jew? It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, now notice this, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. And then Pilate said, you are a king then. Jesus replied, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. The conversation goes on, but we'll leave it right there. And finally, Pontius Pilate has heard enough from Jesus, where he openly declares himself the king of the Jews, but my kingdom is not of this world. He must be killed. Prior to that time, Jesus was a joke to some. They clothed him like a king. They laughed and said he runs around saying that he is a king, but we better get someone to take care of him, for such a man does not deserve to live. That's the story of our text today. Rather an odd one, but one that needs to be looked at for a little bit. There are millions today in our world who take Jesus seriously if he does not interfere with their lifestyle. We try to make our teachings less offensive to a non-Christian world in order that they may continue to receive us and make us a very important part in this structure of ours here in the United States. But the Christian finds that if he is true to the Word of God, he cannot change that Word of God lest he be a person who is not truthful with God and has lost his ministry. Now, let me point out a case or two. Here is a person who is considering what's going to happen to him after he dies. He says, we're all going to be saved, aren't we? And the pastor or whoever may be talking with him says, let me read to you from the 6th verse of the 14th chapter of John, where Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. my friend says to me then, look, I can't accept that part of Christianity. I believe that if there is a life after death, all of us are going to be there. For Jesus Christ is love. Now, there's a mixing of all kinds of teaching that is not Christian. You see, Jesus is interfering with his thought pattern. He wants to have peace with everybody around, regardless of what it will cost. And so he's willing to say, there's not any difference between Jesus and any of the other religious leaders. They all have one purpose, and that is to get us to the heavenly home, each in his own way. Nothing can be farther from the truth. But the minute I say that the only way to heaven, based on what I have read to you from the Bible, without chipping anything off to make it more palatable for others in our community and the world, I suddenly am criticized severely. We have to do the best we can in our country because there is religious freedom. But there is never a time that I have to say, as a Christian, all religions are equal. And so I say this to you today, people, that if we begin to take away from the scriptures or add to the scriptures, we soon have a powerless religion. I'd like to read to you so that you see that this comes from the Word of God, from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. This is our text for today, and it begins with verse 28. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. You see, they were trying Jesus in a religious court, the court of the high priest. They could discipline people. They could do things to them, but they could not have them killed. So they said, we have got to get this person to Pontius Pilate. So then they take him to Pilate, and this is Pilate. Pilate said to Jesus, take him, or to the people of the Jewish kingdom, take him to yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone, the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace. He summoned Jesus and asked him, Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus looked at him and said, is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about me? I am a Jew, Pilate replied. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. Ah, you are a king, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was brought into this world. And for this reason I came to the people here, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Thus far we'll go. Here Jesus says to Pilate, I am a king. Anyone who listens to me has the truth. You are a king. That's what you have said, Pilate. Wanted to make sure. I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. Then Pilate was willing to have him put to death. For you see that there are millions of people, not only Pilate, who are very serious about Jesus, if he does not interfere with their lifestyle. We try to make our teachings less offensive to a non-Christian world by taking a few away. That doesn't matter too much, and then we will all be one. Nothing again could be farther from the truth. Let's take another look at this from the standpoint of how that works. Here is a man who has a very, very good friend, and suddenly he died. The funeral was held, and the men who were good friends attended. While they were having a little fellowship following the service, one of them said, "Well, Pete is in a better place. He had suffered so much." And they went around and each one said their little bit. And here is an evangelical Christian. He said, "Well, gentlemen, you will not like what I'm going to tell you. I loved our friend, but he was not a believer in Jesus Christ." Oh, they went on to say there are all kinds of religions. They're all trying to get to the same place. Jesus is one way, and there's another person another way. And then the Christian turns around and says, "Listen to what Jesus says. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Jesus Christ proclaims that he is King and that he is the only way to heaven. Now you see, with that kind of teaching, people are saying, well, he becomes a hindrance to a oneness on this earth. We must all accept these religions as having the same goal. Not true according to Jesus. Now remember, I'm not talking from the political side of this issue. I'm talking about what the Bible says, what the Christian has to say. There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. And that's why the church must be so diligent. That's why the church cannot be chipping off little parts that are offensive to our society. That's why we must turn to our group and say, "My Savior is Christ Jesus, but he is also my King." King. He is a leader. Who do I speak to today? I'm sure that I speak to many who are evangelical Christians, and we thank God for you. You need to continue to be bathed, as do I, that we may grow in Christ Jesus. But also, we have to say that we are anxious to have him as not only King, but the Lord Almighty God in our life. Others of you say, "No, I'm willing to take Jesus up to a point, and then no more. I don't want to become radical." That being the case, I hurry on to say to you, you are not yet a Christian if you do not receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, the only Savior. You may be a humanist, you may love Jesus, but he gets to the place, he calls him the King. Then it is necessary for me to drop back. I ask you, friends, today, this Lord Jesus who called you a King, is he your King? Do you love him? Do you want him? Amen.
Come thou, Almighty King, help us.
Lord Jesus, we pray that you may be Savior of millions of people. We also pray that those who claim you as their Lord and Savior may say, yes, he too is my King, the ruler of my life. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray your heart will be open to Jesus Christ as the King and ruler of your soul. As we prepare this week to thank God for his many blessings, Christian Crusaders offers our thanksgiving to God for our many blessings. Now, we have been privileged to broadcast the message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ for more than 76 years. This incredible work has been made possible through the blessings of the Holy Spirit and the generous prayers and gifts of our listening audience. May God bless you and your family as you work in his kingdom. If you would like to hear today's message again, you can find it online. Our website posts both a written and audio version of today's message, as well as messages from past Christian Crusaders broadcasts. Join us anytime at ChristianCrusaders.org. Audio copies of today's broadcast are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Or you can call our office toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We are happy you were able to worship with us this day, and we pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 77th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.